I think I know most everybody here, but there's a few unfamiliar faces and some old faces, and so I'll just introduce myself. I'm Melissa Abernethy. My husband is the pastor at Mound Free Church. We've been here for 18 years this summer, and it was a very humbling experience to when Jolene or Jenny asked me if I wanted to speak on submission. And full disclosure, I went home and told Dave, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm qualified or whatever. And I'll go into a little bit more of that in my talk. But I feel like I'm surrounded by a lot of godly women here that could probably give this talk more thoroughly or with more conviction. But I tried my best. And it was really a good growing experience for me because I learned a lot. As I was like digging further in, and one of my friends was joking with me like, oh, you're lucky, you're just going to ask the pastor for help. And I did this on my own. And then I didn't just say, can you write this for me? Like my kids do. And then I came back and, you know, did ask him just to like make sure I was like what I had found. And it is hard sometimes, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there on the internet and books are hard to know. Like, you know, church, Dave was talking about, you know, false teachers and that, you know, you see a lot of that on the internet and on, you know, in books and things like that. And so really just having God's discernment and grace. And so, so I just also wanted to make sure that even though I was doing my own studying that I was also doing it correctly. So when we had been at the church for a little bit of time, we were looking for some new children's curriculum. And so we came across Children's Desiring God, which came out of Bethlehem Church. I think it's Michael and Sally, David, something like that. And at that point in time, we learned about memorizing scripture and things like that. And one of the first verses that we learned was James 4, verses 7 through 8a. And because I'm really much better at singing verses than reciting them, I'm going to sing it, if you don't mind my voice, though. But it goes something like this. It goes, James 4, verses 7 through 8a. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 4, verses 7 through 8a. And the reason I share that is because I think, honestly, and this may sound crazy, but I feel like that was the first time, like, I really kind of heard that word submit, and especially to God. And so obviously that leads into submitting to your husbands. Part of the reason for that is that growing up, I was raised by two loving parents who took us to the Catholic church every week. I attended Catholic grade school and was confirmed in the eighth grade. And I knew who God was, and I would have said I was a Christian, but I did not have a personal relationship with him. And, you know, I just kind of like went along, checked the boxes, went to church, did all the good things, taught, you know, little kids about God, that kind of thing. And in college, I met Dave, and he had just started attending a non-denominational church. And by God's grace, I thought he was super cute, right? And so, of course, I'd love to go to church with you, even though it was kind of spotty once I was in college. But for the first time being there, that was the first chance I really felt like God was speaking to me through the pastor. The lessons were applicable and really helpful to me in my crazy college life. And I started to really want to go to church, not because I had to go, but because I wanted to know more about who God was, and I began to truly enjoy worshiping him. And so we'd been going for a couple of months. Dave and I were dating, and after attending the church for a few months, I checked the box to know what it meant to be a Christian. I thought, I've been going to church for a while at this church. I probably should like know what their definition is. And again, I would have thought I was a Christian. And so I didn't think it was going to be anything new or really different, but you know, but there I had the opportunity to talk with one of the pastors. He explained what sin was, that we're all sinners and how it separated us from God and our need for a savior. And he also explained that it wasn't what I was doing, you know, all these things like going to church and being a good person, that kind of thing, that was going to get me to heaven someday, but that was what Jesus had already done on the cross for me. And by God's grace and a lot of other things, God was already working in my heart. And so that day I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and was baptized shortly thereafter in November of 1998. And Dave had accepted the Lord a few weeks earlier. If you ever heard his testimony, like he grew up Methodist and then would have considered himself agnostic, not even believing in God. And so God really had us kind of on the same journey. And then we were both baptized on the same night. And so following that, I was really excited to read God's word, and Dave and I joined a small group at our church. And being part of that small group was really the first time I had a chance to see what being a Christian looked like in everyday real life. We were very fortunate, even though we were in college, we didn't join a college small group. We joined like a life stage group, and it just so happened like we were the college people. The leaders were like, they were a little bit older, but they had little kids, so they had like a 2 and a 1-year-old. They were in their like late 30s, early 40s. And then we had some like random singles and a couple old people. And so it was really great just to kind of get a glimpse of what being a Christian really looked like. And then shortly thereafter, we graduated from college and Dave and I got engaged, and Dave began seminary in Chicago working towards his MDiv. And then we were married January 1st of 2000. And that's where the real fun began, because you know, neither of us grew up in a Christian home, and so we didn't really know what that should look like or would be like. Some of you may have gathered, if you know me a little bit, I'm super outgoing. I'm really strong-willed. I'm firstborn in my family. Dave is the complete opposite of me. He's quiet and meek. He's an introvert. He's the baby of five. And so you can only imagine, like, our first year of marriage was really, really hard. Dave was going to seminary. He was, like, studying all the time, you know, going to class, studying. I was working. I wasn't teaching at the time because we had just moved up there. And so I was working at a company that did people's benefits, and they were like super busy. So I was working 12 to 14 hour days. So we were like ships passing through the night. But that was what was helping pay the bills. And so it was only really by the grace of God that we survived that first year of marriage, because it was really, really, really hard. If you ever want to know details, I'll tell you later. But by God's grace, early in Dave's schooling, he took a class on biblical manhood and womanhood, and he was learning and started sharing with me that God created us as equal, but that we had different roles. And so Ephesians 5:33 says, husbands love their wives and wives respect their husbands. And that doesn't mean that husbands don't respect their wives and that wives don't respect their, or don't love their husbands, but it just means that we have different roles and one isn't more important than the other, but God has just wired us to complement each other. And wives were meant to be a helper to our husbands because men need it. And we can offer resources and competencies that he may not have. And so in Genesis 2:18, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And so, you know, if guys could do it all, then they wouldn't need us, right? And so the man's role is to protect and provide. And I am super happy for that. You know, that means that Dave is the one that has to get out of bed with the baseball bat and check on the scary noises that I hear in the middle of the night. I also include that to be setting and emptying mouse traps and taking out the garbage. So I've found to make that work really well, that can be his roles. I'm happy to do the laundry and the dishes and that kind of stuff. So, but you came here tonight to talk about or hear about submission, right? And I was joking with someone. I was like, "Oh yeah, I have to talk about the big S." And they're like, "You're talking about sex?" And I was like, no, not sex. I'm talking about submitting or submission, right? And I teach first grade, if you didn't know that. But so we've been studying prefixes. And so the prefix sub means under. And so us as women have a mission under our husband's mission. And we want to fill our mission under our husband's mission, helping him to fulfill his mission. And so, like, in full transparency, you know, when I was thinking about talking about submission, I was like, you know, I'm happy to do this. I can study it. But I'm like, what is submission again? And, like, and honestly, like, am I doing this submission thing correct or even at all? Would Dave say that I submit correctly? Would he say I even submit? Or would he say that I just do whatever the heck I want, which maybe he would say sometimes. But I'm trying. And so I had to have that hard conversation with Dave and say, okay, like, do you feel like I submit to you? Do you feel like I am doing this? Like, and And I expected that he would hem and ha and that he would be like, well, actually, no, you need to be. And because remember, I'm really strong-willed and I'm outgoing and passionate. And so, but he said, yes, you do. And obviously, this is by God's grace, not by my own doing, since I wasn't even sure if I knew what it was or if I had really been doing it. But I think it shows that, you know, when you're in God's word and you're spending time with him and you're praying to him and you, you know, make your marriage, or you're like making God first in your life and your marriage second, and then, you know, that you are, that God's going to honor that, right? And so I just said, I asked Dave, I said, well, can you give me some examples of times you felt like I've submitted? Because I'm still, you know, I get this idea of, like, okay, I'm your helper, I'm supporting you. Yes, I try to do that as much as possible. And he's like, well, I can think of a couple big ones. And looking back, I go, oh my gosh, you're totally right. But it started even before we were married, but we were engaged. And obviously that's, you know, on the road to marriage. And it was when Dave realized that he felt a calling to go into ministry. So here we were finishing up college. And at the time he thought he was going to be an English teacher. And then as God really got a hold of him and was like, I think you should be a pastor. And so he was like, I think I'm supposed to go to seminary. I think God wants me to do that. I think he wants me to be a pastor. And I was like, okay, you know, and like, you know, through prayer and by God's grace, like, I agreed. I was like, yeah, I think God is leading you to do this, and encouraged him to go and support him by working and, you know, helping him while he was going to school full time. And then again, when he felt the Lord was calling him to Mound Free, you know, which was in Minnesota. And if you don't know me, I hate the cold and I hate the snow. And did I mention I hate being cold? And I was like, wait, what? You want us to go to Minnesota? I'm like, there's all these places that we could be looking for churches and you want to go to Minnesota. So again, praying, God's grace. Like, I felt God saying, yes, we should go, and not wanting to fight it, even though my family lives in St. Louis and I love the warm weather and, you know, all these things. And then more recently, just a more recent example in the last couple of years was when Dave felt a calling to pursue biblical counseling and do his ACBC certification. And, you know, I was like, okay, so you want to add this to your already full plate. But again, praying and studying and, you know, just thinking what God would want and saying, yeah, you know, you should begin the program. And yes, I'll support you while you're studying and doing papers and counseling sessions. And which means more time that I'm taking care of the kids after already working all day and things like that. And then just some smaller examples as I was trying to think through that we've come across, you know, other than just like your normal everyday things. But growing up in the Catholic Church, you baptize your babies, right? And here they did this thing called baby dedications. And I was like, but I want to baptize my baby. Yeah, it doesn't have to be about the saving grace thing, but I know that there's some churches that baptize babies, right? And I wanted our babies to wear the fancy clothes, and like it was like tradition, right? And that was really hard for me. And so that was some place that I had to really submit under him and trust that actually God's word says we dedicate children. Yes, it talks about baptism, but that's after you're a believer. And so I submitted to that, and we did compromise a little. I did still get dressed up my kids in really fancy clothes and invited my family to come. Another example as I got older was, again, having to do with traditions, was whether or not we would do Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. That was a big part of growing up. That's what made Christmas and Easter fun. And so we had long talks about this, and, you know, I didn't want them to be the weird kids that didn't celebrate, you know, talk about Santa Claus and, you know, and tell other kids, right? That's your worst fear, right? And so we compromised, and, you know, Dave's idea of, okay, we can do Santa, we can do the Easter Bunny, but the second they ask us, is Santa real? Is the Easter Bunny real? That we would say, no, it isn't, you know, or he isn't, they aren't, whatever, that it's us, right? And we also promised that we would never say Santa's watching you, because we didn't want it to, or Santa sees everything you do, because we didn't want it to be this confusing thing between who God is and Santa is, right? And so so just little bigger examples, I don't know. But so again, so that was just kind of like some examples in our life, bigger examples, I guess, to show of submitting. But the idea is, what is submission? Submission is that divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through using her gifts that God gave her. It's following your husband's authority and yielding to his leadership. So maybe you're wondering, well, where does it command us to submit to our husbands? Well, God commands us in Colossians 3:18. It says, "Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord." It goes on to say that husbands love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And in 1 Peter 3:1-6, it says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening." So again, in verse 5, when it says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God," right? That's what we want to do. We want to hope in God. He's our trust. And we put our trust in him, and we love him. And so he wants us to adorn ourselves by submitting to our husband. And in verse 4, when it says, "Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle spirit." And, you know, that's what's precious in God's sight. And, you know, Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come because she hopes in God." You know, God's sovereign power and love, God helps and strengthens us and is with us. And so, you know, there's lots of verses that show us that this is what God wants for us. In 1 Peter 3:14, it says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." And later in 1 Peter 4:19, it says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good, because triumph is over fear." And going back to 1 Peter 3, where it says, "You are her children, Sarah's, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." And I think that's the part that submission can be misconstrued or done poorly, is when submission is done out of fear instead of respect, or to think that it's costly instead of being free and joyful. I think that's where sometimes submission gets that like naughty thought of like, oh, that's a horrible thing, right? When I was looking up you know, wives submit to your husband, and just trying to look at different resources out on the internet, there's so much things, right? There's like really good things that are totally following the Bible, and then there's really bad things, and then there's people who are following the Bible, maybe not completely, but, and then you read the reviews of people who've read their books, and just how they're so far from of what submission should look like. And so really making sure that we're doing it the way that God wants. And so the way that God wants it is in Ephesians 5:22-24. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the church, his body, and his savior, and is himself its savior. But as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband." Now, when it says "as to the Lord," that's not in place of the Lord, because headship of the husband does not replace headship of Christ. And so that's really important. And we should submit to our husbands with a joyful heart, in love, and believing that it's good for us, the wife, right? Because this is a picture of the church submitting to Christ. And so submission should be a happy response. You know, wives, we're intelligent, we're happy, we're wise, we're supportive to our husband's biblical leadership or headship of the family. I, and hopefully you, love it when your husband leads. I love it when Dave leads, when he takes initiative, because we're fellow heirs of Christ, right? And this initiative might take the form in family devotions, discipline of your children, financial responsibility, moral standards of the home, tithing, church life, etc. It means he is leading and not that he's superior in competencies. And, you know, sometimes you have to, so in our family, I actually do the finances. And the reason being is that, and Dave won't be upset that I say this, he's really bad at math. Like, that is not his thing. It is not his strength. I mean, It's a good thing that he at least knows his numbers, I guess, to find the, like, verses in the Bible, right? But, I mean, like, he does not, like, math is not his thing. And so it would not be wise for our family for Dave to be the one that's, like, sitting down and making the thing. Now, does that mean that he doesn't, you know, encourage me to make sure I'm staying on budget, making sure, well, coupons aren't really a thing anymore, but I used to use coupons a lot, you know, go garage selling, those kinds of things, like, to keep our expenses under check. Of course he does. But, you know, as far as the sitting it down, lining it up, you know, Dave Ramsey style, that is me. And I think that's how God puts people together. So there are going to be times in marriages where, you know, the wife might take the lead on something, but it's still the husband kind of overlooking it and making sure that you're leading in the right direction. So what does this look like in real life? When something comes up that we're I don't know, wondering about or struggling with, or however you want to say it, we talk about it. We pray about it, and then we pray some more. And if we're unable to come to a compromise, a submissive wife, what I hope that I do most of the time, is that I would say to Dave, I'm going to trust you to do what is right, right? I'm going to yield to his leadership. And that, you know, he could choose to do that, or he may choose to go my way, the wife's way, because that's his privilege, because he loves me, because he wants to be gracious to me. And it's the husband's inclination to sacrifice. And so, you know, I think that part is really important of just figuring out how that works and what it looks like in your marriage. So, you know, why do we submit? Besides the fact that obviously God commands us to, right? But there are reasons why we do it. One, we submit to keep our eyes on the universal lordship of Jesus Christ over all his people, all the time, in every way. And what that means is that, you know, we want, as we're submitting to our husbands, we're also submitting to Jesus, right? And as we submit, it reminds us that the submission of all Christians doesn't nullify God's given differences between male and female. Man's headship leadership is humility and servanthood, and the woman's response is to humbly submit. And remember, the goal of marriage is covenant keeping, right? To display Christ and the church's relationship. And so in a healthy biblical marriage, you know, the husband would seek and welcome the wife's wisdom and competencies, and the wife's response would be joyful for the initiative and the help, not like, you know. So we really should see that marriage should mirror the love between Christ and the church. And when a husband submits to the Lord, leading his wife with a servant's heart and nurturing her God-given talents, she can confidently submit to him, she can lean on him, and she can trust his covering. So that's why we should submit. But then there's that part, then why don't we? Right? You know, why don't we submit? Well, wives don't want to submit. We don't always want to do what someone else tells us to do, right? And after the fall, God said in Genesis 3:16, right, that, hold on, I'm going to look it up so I don't read it wrong. I should have brought my glasses. Because I'm in that over 40 group. No, I just have to find the verse. Okay, so in Genesis 3:16, it says, to the woman, he said, that was God, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And so that's that idea of, why don't we want to do it? Well, it's part of, I always blame Eve for everything, right? You know, Eve decided that she did not want to follow the rules. And so therefore, God said, right here in verse 16, that our desire will be contrary to our husbands, but he shall rule over us because he does have the headship and leadership of the family. And if you wonder what that means, we can look over to Genesis 4, chapter 7. I said that wrong. Chapter 4, verse 7. Sorry. And where it says, where God said to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. And If you were at church on Sunday, Dave talked about that when he was preaching through Jude, about the idea of Cain and how it's very easy to let, we need to be ruling over sin and not sin ruling over us, right? And so sin wants to rise up and take control of Cain, just like Eve with Adam. But like, just like Cain, we have to master sin, just as Adam is tempted to do with Eve. So you might be thinking, well, what is the answer to this? And Colossians 3, 18 through 19 is the answer, right? And so we want to make sure that that is what we're doing. Oops, sorry. One more, a little bit. So in Colossians 3:18, just like one more time. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And I think that's what it comes down to. And, you know, we're going to get some time in a few minutes to talk in smaller groups about, you know, what does this look like? You know, and as you think about submission, like, what questions do you still have? What parts seem easy? You know, it's easy when it's not a big deal or if your husband is gracious and gives in, right? What parts seem hard? What benefits do you see in submission? And, you know, as you think about examples of submission in the Bible, God talks about that we're supposed to submit to him. We're supposed to submit to our leaders. We're supposed to submit to authority. And so how do all of those help us in our quest to also submit to our husbands? And then, you know, I just thought we'd also have some time to share examples in your life about how, you know, maybe a time when you've submitted to your husband that was hard, but you did it anyway, and what was the result? And then also a time that maybe you should have submitted to your husband and you didn't, and maybe what the result of that was too. And I was telling Jolene earlier, I apologize because I, you know, obviously the talk is submitting to your husbands. And I was like, oh, I didn't really like, how do you apply this to if you're not married? But I think, you know, knowing what God says about submitting, wives submitting to your husbands can be really helpful, because if you have a friend that is going through a hard time in their marriage, or you have, you know, a parent or a neighbor or things like that, that can be helpful too. And, you know, for those of you who have lost your husbands, how you know how beneficial it was in your marriage to submit, or maybe if you didn't submit, how hard it might have been, and how you might be an encouragement to the younger women here about how beneficial it can be. So are there, before we break up into groups, are there any questions? I don't claim that I'll know any of the answers, but but I could ask my pastor husband and get back to you. Or anything that if I said and you're like, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Not spending my spot, but I just wanted to ask. Okay. So I have, I think Jolene and Jenny are going to break us up into groups, and then I'll send this list of questions to at least one person in the group to kind of be the leader and just kind of talk through them. That's okay. Mm-hmm.